We're here for a good time.
And welcome to Live Local Radio, and Merry Christmas from 97.1 FM. I am so glad you joined us today. We have a great show lined up. We've got Mel Dick, who does everything in town, who's decided to retire and kind of move away from town, coming in. And we'll be talking about all sorts of Christmas stuff, too. But what a great place to be for the holidays. My goodness. Santa Point, Idaho, ho, ho. Here we are, Mel Dick. Welcome. How are you?
Great to be with you. Merry Christmas to you. I trust you got some great presents last night.
You know, I got what I deserved. I really more than
here,
I deserved.
Same here. I mean, at my age, I'm not sure I need anything anymore. Not want anything. I'm trying to downsize, right. Get the stuff out of my garage, etc. But we had a great night with the family.
Well, isn't that fun? That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
That's really good. And you were looking at a cool present for Claudia. How did that go?
That went great. Absolutely great. She loved it. We are starting to spend about half of our time in Tucson, Arizona, and half here. And we've got this perfect spot in this apartment that we have down in Tucson that her present's going to go on the wall there.
You're forced to downsize there a bit, I would assume.
A little bit, but so she's excited about that, and it's going to be a little different than the other art she put in the apartment, but it's going to be fun.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be great. I'm sure it'll be great. And it's already, I can already tell when you're gone already from missing with Rotary, Sandpoint Rotary, longtime member. And then, of course, BNI, a new member there. But what a great organization that is, too.
Oh, my gosh.
And you made a big difference there as well.
Oh, that meeting we had last Thursday was awesome. Absolutely awesome. You got two organizations you mentioned. One is Rotary and one is BNI. If you look at their organizational structure on a local and a global basis, they're really almost identical. Mm-hmm. They both have international operations. They both have international conventions. They have individual clubs.
Networking is part of it.
The networking is part of it. One is more of a service organization. The other is more of a business networking referral kind of organization. But the people are great. They are absolutely great. They're excited. I like the fact that you can only have one particular kind of profession or industry or
in BNI you're talking?
Uh-huh. In BNI represented. Right. You know, that goes back to the old days of Rotary. In fact, I'm convinced BNI stole a lot of Rotary stuff. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they did. Because, you know, in Rotary, there was only certain classifications of jobs, you know, that you could have within an industry.
And that's not that long ago. And of course, we know why they did that. They wanted to open up for more professionals to come in. But the clever clubs would do this. They'd say, okay, you're in real estate. Okay, now you're in real estate, but you only sell waterfront. Oh, you sell vacation. You sell.
Yes.
So the smarter clubs had 12 people in real estate anyway. The other clubs said, oh, we have one realtor. That's enough. Interesting, though. And one thing I noticed when you talked to me to becoming club president here, by the way, you were responsible for that to happen, was that when we started doing the not having classifications, you know, you started looking around and saying the good thing about that was all these different segments of our community were represented there. And now you look at it and you think, okay, what group is missing from our table? Who are we missing because we don't have, again, the classifications anymore? Who could help us maybe do the next great project? Who would represent a group that's not now with us? And so I think that's a challenge that Rotary sees as well. So.
Yeah, and I think if you just look at our community here and you kind of think of where our community is headed with, you know, a lot of new people here, a lot of people that are involved in either technology here or somewhere else, but they happen to live here.
Right.
That's probably the biggest challenge, because you know Rotary has this reputation, if you will. It's a bunch of old people,
right?
And the reality is, it's not a bunch of old people. We have a lot, or the club has a lot of younger members. They're very vibrant and they're very giving in the community.
Right. Well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, Tag. I think that sounds like a good idea. And then when we come back, I think we'll talk a little bit more about the community and how Sandpoint has changed over the few years that you've been a part of it and the few years I've been a part of it. But even in that relatively short amount of time in the history of our town, there's been a lot of changes here. So, hey, join us after the break. And I do want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. What a great day. I'm so glad you found us, too, on the radio. And, again, we do stream live 24/7 on North Idaho Radio. www.smarterclubs.com. You can find us there as well. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Sandpoint Past.
We're here for a good time.
And welcome back to Almost Live Radio. Merry Christmas to all of you listening today. And again, I hope you're having a great day with family and friends. I'm talking today with Mel Dick. Mel's been a longtime proprietor in our community, super involved with everything important that's going on here too. And I guess one thing I would like to hear from you is tell us the Mel and Claudia story. How did you end up coming to Sandpoint, Idaho? And I know Claudia has had her own glide plane a little bit with her career, and you did as well. And tell us about how that all happened.
Well, it's a long story, but it's really a short story. In 1997, we were living in Denver, Colorado at the time. And we have two children, Justin and Hillary. And in 1997, we became empty nesters because both of our kids moved to Idaho. One moved to Idaho, southern Idaho. The other moved to northern Idaho. And we're like, okay, we've really never been to Idaho before, maybe once.
They come to Idaho.
Schools. Both came for school.
Scholarship type situations,
yeah,
where they
were. Yeah, they both came for school. And so we started coming up to see them. You know, even to this day, when I drive across the Long Bridge and the sun is shining, when it's shining, and you look up at the mountain and you see that snow-capped hill and you see all that water, there's something magical about it, right?
Yep.
I mean, and so we were coming up here multiple times a year, sometimes southern Idaho, sometimes northern Idaho. Fell in love with northern Idaho, not so much. Well, southern Idaho was great. It was absolutely great. We're at Pocatello, where Justin was at school. But at the same time, northern Idaho is, you know, just the sheer beauty. Right. Small community. We both grew up in a small rural community. I grew up at a farm. In South Dakota. Sandpoint is a big city compared to where we are from. So we fell in love with it. We moved here part-time in 1998. Kept our residence in Denver. And then Claudia started spending about 6 months a year up here. And we moved up here full-time in 2002.
In your current house the whole time?
No, we originally bought a log home up here. We were kind of in love with that kind of rural setting and everything. And then the current house we're in, we bought in 2005, I think. Any event, we fell in love with Sandpoint, fell in love with the community, the people here. The lake was beautiful, but we never really went out on the lake the first 3 or 4 years we lived up here because we didn't have a boat. You know, we got a pontoon now, and so it's a lot of fun. And we just, you know, it ultimately ended up we were here full time in 2002. I went to work for Coldwater Creek. They had no intention of working up here. It was simply a place for Claudia to live, and I lived on an airplane, and I traveled and worked all over the world. It just worked out. Then at the same time, Claudia, who grew up as a kitchen rat, her dad was a chef, and her parents had restaurants and operated restaurants. She wanted to start a restaurant business. Worst thing you can do, right? You know, the way to become a millionaire in Sandpoint is come here with multiple millions and start a restaurant. You'll become a millionaire. That was the joke at the time. So she started Cafe Trinity, the original Cafe Trinity on First Avenue, over near where there used to be a Starbucks there. I'm not sure what's in there right now. It's next to the Burger Dock.
Yep.
And, you know, that led to her kind of being pretty good at it. She ended up buying the 219 Lounge because she felt that she needed a liquor license so she could serve cocktails at the original Cafe Trinity. Turned out she didn't need that. She just kept the 219 Lounge as this funky old place. It's going to be 90 years old, continuously open for 90 years next October.
Wow.
Of 26. You know, our son and daughter both moved up here, you know, around that same time period. And they live up here now. They've got their kids are up here. So the whole family's here. And again, I think what draws us all here is not just the beauty and the outdoors and the lake and the mountain and all that. It's really the community. And so, you know, we're down in Tucson part-time now. A lot of Sandpoint people down there. Some of our best friends are down there.
Hey, in fact, I agree.
And that's really why we ended up in Tucson. And so we got kind of the best of both worlds. You know, all the last 2 weeks, I've been out riding bike, you know, 30 to 65 miles a day and 70 plus.
Great trail system there, you said. I
mean, 137 miles of paved running, walking, biking trails.
Separated from the roads.
Yeah, separated from the roads, but the roads themselves have great bike lanes. It's Mecca if you're a bicyclist. It's where all the pro teams train. I'm talking about the people that are riding the Tour de France, et cetera. Those people will be training down there during the off season.
And you draft behind them when they go by you?
Well, you know, when they go by me and I'm riding up Mount Lemmon at about 6 to 8 miles an hour and they're riding 18 to 23 miles an hour and they're 22-year-olds and I'm a 72-year-old, I don't do too much drafting.
Right. And so this move is fairly new.
Just happened, end of October.
Yeah.
We've spent time... you know, a couple months of the year, we would go away. We bought a little RV and thought we'd get into the RV world and realize, you know, living in a closet size RV with a dog and your entire kitchen, bathroom, shower, et cetera, is not so easy to do. So rather than upsize, we decided let's just get an apartment.
And you're still talking to each other after that, so it worked out well because that's
because I go for a bike ride and she does her thing and
So you're back for the holidays, so you're catching up a little bit. How does that feel? Does it feel odd to be unplugged for a while then plugged back in, or no?
You know, it for me, well, for Claudia, she'd just soon be back where it's 80 degrees. On the other hand, she wants to be here for the kids and the holidays and all that. For me, you know, I kind of plug right back in, go right back into what we do at the 219 and 113 and went to BNI again this morning and things like that. So I miss that part of it, of, you know, what's going on in the community. I miss Rotary. On the other hand, you know, I got this new philosophy in life.
What's that?
Well, if you're a baby boomer and you're trying to 70 plus, it is time. It's time to move on. Enjoy the rest of your life. It's time to really turn over everything to
make up some rooms now for the millennials.
Well, yeah. Okay. Let people, you know, do the stuff you've been doing because they're going to have new ideas, in many cases, maybe even better ideas.
However, though, by saying that, you're still doing what you are doing to some level to when you come back to town.
But not to the same degree. And what I'm talking about is, you know, will we stay involved with the community? Yeah, we'll stay involved with the community. In fact, we're doing a big event tomorrow night. That was a community-based event. But, you know, everything else, you know, running businesses, being involved with politics, you know, fighting for causes, all that stuff, it's time for somebody else to do all that.
Right.
And so it's kind of like, you know, maybe we should just step aside and get out of the way.
Right.
And
maybe.
I kind of apply that at every level. For everything in the country.
Top down. I think I hear what you're saying on that.
Yeah, what are you, 48, 49?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, so it's your turn.
Oh, my gosh. So, Rotary, how about Chafe is a good example of that, too. Mm-hmm. Because you wore many hats in Chafe, and now you've doled out the different responsibilities to new people, mostly. Some are longtime Rotarians, but new to that role. And it's going along okay, right?
As far as I know, you know, we did a transition over the last couple of years of some key roles that I played to people like Mariah Williams, for example.
Yep.
Great, great young lady, great Rotarian, great community kind of activated person, loves education, which is what Chafe has always been all about. And, you know, Chafe will live on. I know they're out there doing a sponsorship drive right now. So If you want to be a sponsor, whether it's through your business or individually, you know, get in touch with somebody at Rotary and they'll get you into the sponsorship. And Chafe, since its inception, has given over $1 million to our Lake Pend'Oreille School District and early education or early literacy programs there.
Right.
And, you know, that's a pretty amazing bike rides in a small community. You know, they don't raise that kind of money. And so we've been very, very fortunate on that. And it, if you look at the community and you look at where the Lake Pend'Oreille School District is in terms of education in the state,
right.
I mean, it. We are arguably, on an overall basis, probably the number one school district in the state. And that's because of things like Rotary and Chafe and Panhandle Alliance for Education,
for sure.
Food for Our Children. You could go on and on, but this community appreciates education.
It does, Mel, for sure. Let's take a quick break, and we come back. Let's talk more about Chafe. I mean, there's many different aspects to that that people, I'm going to guess most people don't even know.
Sure.
But it's an interesting, even by itself, it's an interesting little microcosm of the community, but to how it works and how it keeps giving back is just truly amazing, and it will last forever, we hope, because the need will always be there. It's just trying to find the right people, the right place, the right time. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Mel Dick, who's back in town and making the media rounds here and talking it up, and looking forward to more conversation after the break. And welcome back to Almost Live Radio on Christmas Day here at 97.1 FM. I'm with Mel Dick, who's sitting across the table from me, and we're waxing eloquent about Sandpoint, Christmas, Chafe, Rotary, and by gosh, all sorts of different things like that. When we did take the break, we started talking about Chafe and the importance Chafe has had really on the educational aspect of what we do here, for sure, and how it really has made a difference for so many students. I mean, I remember way back when Chafe started with PAFE, you know, and one of their first gifts was to focusing on children on the autism spectrum. And that was a real success story, and that really kind of paved the way, I think, for the three-year cycle for different causes. Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when the Panhandle Alliance for Education started the bike ride, and they called it Chafe at that time, Cycle Hard for Education, it helped them fund a program called Ready for Kindergarten. And that's a program where families go through, I think it's basically a quarterly process of learning how to be the first teachers of their children. And they really are, you know, your mom and dad are the first teachers. And then that evolved when Rotary got involved to students on the autism spectrum. And that evolved into a social emotional kind of growth that really helped, you know, it wasn't just students on the autism spectrum, but it kind of morphed into the entire school. From there, we got involved with the after school literacy and reading program, which helped those students that might need a little extra help to get caught up. And from there, it went to the Book Trust, which is a national organization where kids in kindergarten through grade 3 were able to once a month, select a book that became their book. And they got a certain amount of dollars to spend, and those books were theirs. They would read to each other. They could take the books home. Their siblings could read them, but they got to keep those books. And then most recently is the program that it's supporting now, which is Every Student Graduates a Reader. And if you think about it, it's so important. I mean, there's 50 million people in the United States that can't read.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. About half of, depending on where you're at in the country, in the school districts, et cetera, you know, probably somewhere between 30 and 50% of high school graduates are not reading at a level functionally where they can fill out job applications, mm-hmm. which is, you know, without that, without being able to read, reading really is the foundation. And that's kind of been where the bike ride has always supported that.
Yeah, and it's been, this is the first year of a 3-year cycle for that program, yes. too. And it's interesting because Rotary asks for different groups to present and say, tell us about your cause, tell us what, you know, what you would do with the money and how it might exist after the money stops, just some important stuff that has to happen. And there were no dry eyes in the room when they started talking about these kids who would get passed along class to class to class and not be readers, and nobody would catch them. So this program, by design, catches them early on, hopefully, but sometimes, well, it starts now, so if there's a junior and a senior, they're all being tested, they're all being checked, and now where are you? You're showing signs of dyslexia. You're showing signs of attention deficit disorder, whatever it might be, slowing somebody down. At least now they're identifying that and getting a course of action that way. And versus passing a kid along who can't even fill out a resume without having errors in it or typos in it, and especially now in the world too, you've got to have some level of computer literacy or you are in big trouble. And the school district saw that, the state of Idaho saw that a little bit too. And then, of course, Rotary saw that when they presented this program and kicked it off here. CHAFE has really touched a lot of different people in different ways, and it's not really shared that much, but the test for me was the pandemic year. The world stopped. We did not have a CHAFE bike ride because you couldn't have bike rides. You couldn't have groups of people. You couldn't do all that. And so Mel and his group, and I'm an outside part of that group. I'm not the inner part of CHAFE at all. I just support it. But they had a decision to make, and the decision was this. Do we pull the plug and come back next year strong, which is great, or do we, ask the sponsors to see if they want to sponsor a race that's not going to happen, right, it's not going to happen, but the need is still there. And to a business, to a sponsor, except for maybe one or maybe two small ones, they all paid their sponsorship for a ride that didn't happen because they knew that Rotary was good for what we were talking about doing, that the need for the CHAFE benefactor at that point was needed, and it was real, and it was community-based. And Mel, to me, that's one of the more heartwarming stories I share with people about CHAFE. How about you?
No, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I think it's testament to the value our community places on education and helping our local students with that education. I mean, it was kind of, you know, I think there weren't many dry eyes in the room when later that year, when we were finally able to start having Rotary meetings again, and we presented a $60,000 check without having any registered riders to the school district.
Best
for the
net
book
ever. Best net ever. The expenses were way down.
So I think it's just a testament to this community and the importance that they place on education.
It is, and it kind of manifests itself in a different way, too. And you can imagine this, all the reading scores plunged during the pandemic. Kids weren't reading. Kids were barely getting online. Some couldn't get online. Parents weren't following up. I mean, it was just a mess. It truly was a mess. And so, of course, they still did the standardized testing on students. And guess what? Of course, math, reading, comprehension, all that stuff fell off a cliff for most students. But in Lake Pondere School District, what happened here, Mel?
Well, it you know, we're in most measures, either for English language arts, which includes the reading, math, and science, when we look at our testing scores compared to the rest of the state, you know, we're 1, 2, or 3 in those. So, like, last year's kindergarten class, I had a 93% proficiency in reading. I'm real proud of that because my granddaughter was in kindergarten class. Last year's sixth grade class had this really high score in, I believe it was science. And I have a granddaughter that was in that class. Last year's junior class in high school was, I think, third in the state, if I remember right, or maybe second in English language and arts, and I had a grandson in that class. So,
look at that.
It's just so amazing to see what happens. And you're talking to someone who went to a one-room country school And I was the only kid in my class for 6 out of 7 years. Okay.
Top in your class.
Top in my class. Yep. Number one in the class.
We won't talk about homecoming and all that. That's kind of awkward.
Right. Yep. In any event.
Well, and again, and that's what makes the difference. The fact that the money stays here, more than $1 million and growing, I mean, just tremendous. And the point I was making, too, was that when all the reading comprehension scores dropped off during pandemic, the tale was this. They knew that kids here at least were trying to read because they had books in their home. And if you think about it, if you had siblings, you had their books in the homes, too, where kids were actually at least had some accessibility to read. Yeah. And so the reading scores here and comprehension scores here did not drop off nearly like the state of Idaho average. And so hopefully that safety net that hopefully that Rotary and Chafe had built in worked. And I think that is so cool. It really is. Tell us a little bit about how Chafe comes together. I mean, people assume it's a bike ride. It's one day. I mean, how hard can it be?
There's a committee out of the Rotarians that work on it, and they're roughly a half a dozen to eight people that work on it. It's a year-round effort to coordinate it. The sponsorship drive takes place in the fall and early winter. The ride's actually going to be on June 20th, I think, in 2026. There's five different routes. Last year there were five different routes. I think there's probably going to be five again this year. People come from all over the country. About 60 to 70% of the riders are from outside of our region, either out of state. I think there's 20-some states in Canada involved. And it takes roughly about 150 volunteers during the day of the ride and leading right up to it and right after it to pull it off. A lot of the rest stops are manned by other community organizations. And we get wonderful help. As you can imagine, some of this is through the mountains and there's not a lot of cell coverage. Well, we get wonderful help from what I'll call the local ham radio operators, and they're just incredible.
And they're all over it that way, too.
And they're all over it.
Well, 2 years ago, we actually had a good test for them, and they passed with flying colors. You can't control the weather, but you control how you respond to it. And they did really, really well. But also a change that was made, too, was not all highway cycling.
Yes.
There was a gravel ride or two thrown in there now, too.
We added two.
How's that worked out?
The two gravel rides. So biking has gone from road biking, mountain biking, gravel riding. Road biking is not as popular as it used to be. And we started out as just a pure road bike. We
150
now,
miles.
150 miles, and that was the only ride we had. Now we have two gravel rides, which take you up into the mountains on Forest Service roads, and some gravel roads out in Sally Valley, and they're 55 and 75 miles. We've got an 80-mile road ride, a 25 and a 40, and a family fun ride.
Fun ride, downtown stuff. It's really, really cool.
You know, there's one thing we haven't talked about that I think we ought to mention, and we talk about, you know, how good our students are doing and how they compare to the statewide averages and how those are actually even above, we're way above the national averages. We have been blessed since I've been in the community to have some school superintendents, all of which have been Rotarians. Dick Civitanich, Tom Albertson, Sean Woodward, and now Dr. Becky Meyer. And without their leadership, and they've got one, you know, Dr. Meyer's got a wonderful team around her with Dr. McLaughlin and others. They're really what make this happen. And here's another statistic. I just read this the other day. It came out from PAFE. Our absentee rate in our school district is 3.4%. Do you know what it is statewide?
No.
14. And it's probably higher nationwide.
So 11%-ish lower than the state average and probably lower than the national average.
So kids are wanting to go to school, right?
Right. Well, let's do this. Let's take our last break. And when we come back, we'll talk about Sandpoint. We'll talk about Mel a little bit more. He hates that, but I'm going to bring some stuff up. But we want to find out a little bit more about you as a part-time resident of our community and, you know, what you've seen and what you think the future might be like here in Sandpoint. So we'll catch you after the break.
Good time. Not a long time. So have a good time. Have a good time. And shine every day.
welcome back to Not Close to Being Live Local Radio at 97.1 FM. Merry Christmas. We are pre-recording this, so anything that I might talk about tomorrow or tonight or something, please take that with a grain of salt, because this will actually air on Christmas Day, and I wanted to have a special guest to talk about Christmas and life here, and one of my best friends in the whole wide world here in Sandpoint, Idaho, is Mel Dick, and somebody I look up to, too, because he walks the walk and talks the talk and has made a huge difference for anything he's decided to spend his time on in our community. So I'm very honored to have you here. So let's wrap up this last section here and talk a little bit about what you see in Sandpoint. You've seen it all happen. You've been here for a few years now, and now you're kind of pulling back a little bit. You know, where do you think Sandpoint was? Where do you think it is? And where do you think it's going?
Well, before I answer that, I need to think about that a bit, but this eggnog is really good. I'm not sure what you put in it.
That's not the spiked one. I'm not sure if that's the right one or not. Oh, my gosh.
Anyhow, I really appreciate Christmas here. I guess we've seen 27 years or so of Sandpoint now. And, you know, it's grown from, I don't know what it was when we moved here. I'm going to just get a guess, probably 4,000 or 5,000 people. It's probably close to 10,000 or more now. The surrounding area is probably closer to 50,000+. A lot of people have moved here. COVID, I think, changed Northern Idaho. People came from all over the country and moved up here, and some of them were here part-time and some of them just ended up staying. We've got a lot of in-migration, and there are a lot of things that go along with that, some good, some bad. The good news is, you know, they've created a, you know, people's, if you owned a home, your home went up, way up in price. The bad news is, if you didn't own a home, home prices went way up. So those are challenges, I think, that need to be addressed, you know, not just in Sandpoint, but Northern Idaho in total. My gosh, look at Coeur d'Alene. I mean, when we first started coming up here, we could drive through Coeur d'Alene. You know, I'd come flying in out of Spokane on a Friday night, and I could drive through Coeur d'Alene, and if I timed the lights right, you know.
One stoplight when Marlisa went to NIC.
Yeah, I mean,
in early 80s.
And you could drive through and time all those lights. Oh. And now it's 45 minutes to get through Coeur d'Alene.
Longest part of your trip.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, in Sandpoint, you know, all that growth, I think, is bringing challenges to the community and the infrastructure of the community. I mean, I think we've got, you know, I think our mayor and city council members are focused on those kind of things. I think the state is starting to realize, you know, I spent a lot of time in Boise over the last few years on legislative kind of things. And, you know, Boise is a world in of itself, okay? And you always hear about North Idaho or Northern Idaho and the rest of the state. And we truly are out of sight, out of mind to a certain extent from my perspective of what I've seen. But they're starting to pay attention to us. I mean, the governor was up here recently trying to understand stuff about Lake Ponderay, lake levels, things like that. I think those are all really good. I'm very bullish on, you know, the future of Sandpoint and Northern Idaho. There's a lot of growth. I think we need to have some good controlled growth. I think we need to make sure we don't lose our values. I tell people, it's really funny because, you know, in our line of business, you meet a lot of people. And you naturally get a chance to talk to them. You get a chance to say where you're from, et cetera. And there's some people that are very sheepish and do not want to say where they're from because they think they're going to be
ostracized. It's California and they don't want to say it.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And the reality is, you know, my response is, hey, look, I don't really care where you came from. But when people ask you, where do you live? You live here. Mm-hmm. You live in Sandpoint. I'm from Sandpoint today. I'm not from Denver, Colorado. Yeah. 28 years ago, I was from Denver, Colorado, but I'm from Sandpoint. I was from Sandpoint the day I moved here. And I think, you know, use that as a way to let the community absorb the things. We have a community up here. We have values up here. You know, absorb yourself into that versus saying, here, this is how you should do it.
Right.
Because that doesn't work.
It doesn't work very long, for sure. We're seeing some of that bubble up a bit, but it doesn't last very long that way, for sure, because people figure out they can't move that
yeah.
direction. And why bring your problems with you? There's a reason you moved here.
Yes, yes.
So the 113 and 219, so when Trinity closed, mm-hmm. did you see a migration of people looking for a place to eat at that point, or is this a whole different concept with 113?
Well, 113 is a much different concept than Trinity was. Trinity was on the beach, on the water, tons of locals, tons of tourists, very, very seasonal, though, right? Very, very seasonal. 113 is new menu, different digs, a little bit more modern, if you will. I mean, Trinity was in a building that was built back in the 70s. This is a building that was built back in the 1910s, but totally reconstructed.
The same building.
But totally reconstructed by the previous owner. You know, it's just a different vibe. It's much smaller. It's got its kind of own customer base. If you listen to Justin talk, he'll tell you almost every day he has customers come in that were Trinity customers, whether they lived here locally or they came from Spokane or Coeur d'Alene or Bonner's Ferry or Washington and Canada. They're like, oh my gosh, you're here. We didn't know you were here. Right. And so, you know, the business is growing. It's busy. It's very busy. Now, the tremendous competition. I mean, Sandpoint has, I mean, there's just restaurant after restaurant after restaurant. We have more restaurants on a per capita basis, it seems to me,
right.
than you can imagine. But, you know, I think it's a testament to maybe the vibe my wife developed, Claudia developed with the original Cafe Trinity, which was small, intimate, lively.
I used to love that. I really did.
You know, watch the chefs cook right in front of you, flames all over. 113 Main's got a little bit of that open kitchen vibe to it. But it's, and you know, Justin's done a hell of a job, in my opinion, of getting a business off in a very, very competitive world.
Right. So you and Claudia are involved with the couple, and Justin, of course, now Justin, involved with a couple restaurants in town then?
Well, Justin's involved with 113 Main, mm-hmm. his primary focus. He's got some involvement with Jalapenos.
Right.
And then Claudia and I are involved with the 219.
Very good. And that'll stay the same, Mel, even though you're a part-time?
We intend to stay, yes, for the time being.
Right.
I mean, again, back to my philosophy of, you know, you're a baby boomer, time to step over, step away, let somebody else do stuff.
He says it with a big grin right now, too. It's a plan, I can tell.
Yeah, so, you know, we've got some things we want to do. I got some bucket list things that I want to do, and
a lot of them, off here,
they may not necessarily be in Sandpoint.
Well, that's okay, too. Again, you made a huge difference here.
I do want to ride the Chafe 150 bike ride in 2026.
Really? The 150?
We'll see.
Okay. Well, that's a good goal to have. You've done the 150 a couple times.
Multiple times, but have not done it for the last several years.
Right. They haven't changed the course at all, although they reversed it.
They reversed
true.
It. Yeah.
True.
Anyhow.
Well, again, Mel, it's funny how you measure, you know, life is short, and our time to be impactful is even shorter. But you've somehow chosen to make a difference in this community. And the town misses you, of course, because you had great leadership. But I think Justin's really stepped up. And I think the best years for Sandpoint are ahead of us. I truly do. And some kind of planning needs to be done. Some kind of infrastructure work has to be done, too, because we can't keep doing what we're doing with what we have. And so I don't know where the answer is for that. It's going to be expensive no matter what we talk about, whether water treatment centers or whatever else. But there's a reason people move here, and there's a reason you moved here, too. And I'm talking to all of you out in radio land right now, too. And so it's hard to hold it against somebody who wants to move here. I've always had that issue because something attracted all of us except for the native Indians. They were here first. We got that. But something brought everybody else across the Long Bridge at different times. And I think our job is to make it better. and be aware, make sure that we're making it a place people want to live. And if they choose not to stay here, well, that's okay too. But if you are here, there's many opportunities to make a difference. I mean, you talk about volunteerism, you talk about helping out the schools, you talk about, I could talk about Rotary, for heaven's sake. Well, we're always looking for people who want to make a difference here. And Lions Club is great here. Kiwanis is great here. There's many ways to plug in here. And on a Christmas day, maybe that's a day to think about how do you give back? You know, what is your purpose? What's your dash going to be when you pass away? And what kind of difference can you make? And what kind of difference can you make in a community? Well, Sandpoint's looking for you. If you're looking for opportunity, get a hold of Rotary again. Get a hold of all these different groups. The Envision Center has a great list of places to volunteer. You know, think about that. Maybe a New Year's resolution. Maybe make a difference in your life and those around you. So I want to thank you so much today for joining us. Merry Christmas to all of you. Mel, thank you again for stopping by. We appreciate that. And you can't see it on Radioland, but he's got this great elf hat on. I mean, my gosh, I don't know where he'd wear that, but oh well. At least he's going to have fun doing that. So, and all the best to all of you. And we'll check in with you after the new year. So have a great holiday and give those loved ones a hug.